On the Claire Z, Matt and Kimber catch up, Mum is the Word with Janelle Koenig.
Claire Z, Matt and Kimber on your computer. Gosh, how high tech. Enjoy this podcast. Everything Perth.
Joining us this morning, comedian, mum and endorsee type, our good friend Janelle Koenig. Good morning.
Oh, what's wrong?
Grief.
One more week of school holiday.
You poor pawn.
Oh, my God. I love my kids, just not every hour of the day.
Yeah,
so many weeks in a row.
Someone said to me last night at a gig, I had to bring my kids along. I had no option. Phil wasn't home in time. And he went, oh, it's hard for single mums, isn't it?
Oh.
I went, hey, what about me, says single mum A, and B, no, it's not. Every single mum I know gets every second weekend off.
Yes, so, right.
True.
Shove that up your jumper.
Mum is the word. It's the word. It's the word that you heard.
So I've been having a massive clean out pre- the start of school.
I want the
deck clear.
Yes, mm-hmm. Clean slate.
Clean slate. Not that they're whiteboards now, but whatevs.
Mm-hmm.
So I found a letter that I wrote to my eldest, Mairead, before she started kindy. So it was the night before kindy. I wrote her a letter. I found it, and I thought you might enjoy it.
So she would have been, four at the time?
Yeah, I think she was three because she was one of those babies that start because we got the timing really right.
Well done, Mum.
Yes. Okay. So here we go. This is my letter, the highlights from my letter to Mairead. Dear Mairead, it's the night before you start kindergarten. I've made your school lunch for the first time ever.
Mm.
You've got a cheesy mite sandwich, grapes, rice crackers and sultanas.
Oh.
That wasn't what I'd originally planned to give you for your first ever school lunch. I'd planned to give you these amazing, gorgeous sushi rolls I saw on Pinterest, made out of spinach, bread, cream cheese and sultanas, I found. But Dad went out to get the groceries for me, and despite me giving him an itemised list, he returned without the flippin' spinach mountain bread or the cream cheese. Oh, well, you've still got sultanas. Some of your sandwich may be a bit soggy. That's not the cheesy mite. Could be possibly a few of my tears. Now, we've already done a run through tomorrow with the school containers. I'm worried that if you haven't had a practice that you might rip them open like some kind of child raised by wolves. We've also got your new pink backpack that you chose yourself.
Aww.
Well, kind of. I held up the cheapest two that were less than $10 and you chose the one that didn't have the skull and crossbones on it. But you chose it. You chose it. I just wanted to let you know about a few things about school before you start. Kids will wee and poo their pants at school.
True. Mm-hmm.
It happens. It happened to me in high school. What I can promise is that you will always have spare clothes in your bag and you will never, ever have to face the indignity of lost property pants. No matter where you go or what you turn out to be, few people will know you like your best friend from primary school knows you, nor will anyone else know exactly when and how to tell you to pull your head in, and they'll always, always be right. That said, you will also meet people at school that you don't like and who might not like you. It starts at school, and I don't think that that ever stops. You are a strong, confident, clever girl, and you do definitely have a bossy, defiant streak. Where on earth could you have inherited that from?
Sure.
All I can say on that subject is try and get on with things. Don't go out of your way to make anyone's life miserable. Be tolerant, and hopefully others will return the favour. Oh, and when it comes to the end of your nativity play, I just wanted to let you know that every girl wants to play Mary.
Yeah.
And while I will support you in your campaign for the role, I even have a blue dressing gown at the ready for your audition, 29 other little girls will want the role. Bridget Cowkey was Mary at my kindy nativity.
Oh.
Kindy is the only time in your life when it's adorable to upstage the lead. You'll learn what you're naturally gifted at in primary school, and whatever that is that you love is perfectly excellent with me and your dad, and I will support you in all that you endeavour to do. Okay, piano lessons would be heaps easier than 5 a.m. swimming training, but if that's what your passion turns out to be, we'll support it. Unless your passion is murdering neighbourhood pets.
Mm.
Obviously, then we'll need to have a little chat.
Goes without saying.
You are so loved, my precious girl. I hope you always, always know and carry that knowledge with you in your heart, along with the baby wipes I put in your bag just in case you get cheesy on your face at lunchtime, or wear yourself.
Gee whiz. Say, hey, look at you. It's like Plato.
Clarzy, Matt and Kimber. Weekdays from 6 a.m. on Mix 94.5.
It's long been held
that idea that music can influence in so many ways. And we've seen it this past week or so at the Perth Arena with Bruce Springsteen and a joyous celebration of music and how it can move people. Also, things like songs getting stuck in your head, the old earworm, can even affect sleep and sleep patterns. But also that influence of music in our stores and how in a retail sector, music can have an influence as well. Sometimes
very much so.
Subliminal. We talked to someone who's researched this, Macquarie University Associate Professor Chris Bauman. Good morning.
Thank you so much for having me.
Now, I think this all came off the back. I was in my local supermarket and they were playing a very happy song. And as I went from aisle to aisle, I was laughing and got a lot of joy out of the fact that we were all singing along to this song whilst happily putting items in our basket. So how much does music affect our shopping habits?
This is actually the big question. That's the $50 question. There's, of course, three ways. Music doesn't influence us at all. It influences us in a positive way or in a negative way. What we know, of course, from the marketing literature, you know, music has a big impact on our emotions, on our mood, as you were just talking about your supermarket experience, right? We listen to a song and it makes us happy or not. And we know from the marketing literature that what we call affectional drivers drive brand recall. So we can recall a brand more if we have some emotional attachment.
Yes.
There is indication when people wait in line, and we've all been there, done that, you know, we're bored. But it seems when we are entertained, if you will, by music, we perceive the waiting time to be shorter.
Okay, makes sense.
Yep.
There's also an interesting finding for supermarkets, talking about the speed of the music, so slow music or fast.
Yep.
There's indication that when slow music is played, people spend $16 at the supermarket.
Uh-huh.
But when fast music is played, they only spend $12.
Oh.
So that's a difference of $4.
Not as relaxed.
That's quite right. We feel rushed and I feel, oh, I want to get out of here. Let me just get my bread and milk and whatnot and let's get out of here. But when we're more relaxed, we might go, oh, what about some salad and, you know, what about some yogurt? And we might actually just buy more just by the fact that the music at the store is actually slow or fast.
So what about something like when I'm shopping, I don't mind hearing the music and I'm quite open to whatever they play,
except
store jingles.
Yes.
When the store plays its own jingle, I cannot wait to get out. Is there any research on that?
Yes, there is a lot of research. That's an excellent point. So the effects of what we call the music genre is also being researched quite a bit. One study indicated, for example, in a store setting, when French music was played, so the French chansons, sales of French wines actually increased.
Oh, wow.
Patriotic.
Hey, there you go. At the same time, when German music was played, sales for German wines did not increase at all.
That says more about the quality of German wine, surely.
Rubbish.
Whatever it may be, but we can see there are some effects.
Professor, what about the volume? Because my hairdresser said to me just before Christmas, she said, the shopping centre, have you noticed when it's quiet at the shopping centre, as in the number of people there, they turn the music up in the aisles and they were pumping Mariah Carey so loud because it gives the feeling that people, that it's busier and they shop and spend more.
Yes, that's a very good point. That's also very delicate because, I mean, there would be factors such as age, time of day. So looking at the volume or the speed, for sure music has an effect on emotions. We all know that, right? I mean, it puts us in a good mood or in a bad mood for starters. But how these mechanisms work is very complex. So we have all these studies that show us, okay, we have to be careful. It could actually be negative. Could be an enhancer, if you will. Or in many cases, it doesn't have an effect at all. Sometimes the music is so soft that we don't even notice it. So it wouldn't have an effect on whether we stay longer at the restaurant or we spend more. We're looking at a very complex model. We're looking at music impacting attitude or mood, and that in turn then affecting behavior.
Professor, thanks for your time and your expertise today. Absolutely fascinating.
Thank you so very much for having me. It's been lots of fun.
And we're going to send Matt shopping. We need a few groceries. With a smile on his face.
Absolutely. What can I buy? What can I buy?
Thanks again to our professor there, Associate Professor Chris Bauman, joining us.
You do wonder how music affects Kimber's online shopping.
Clearsy, Matt and Kimber. Weekdays for breakfast on Mix 94.5.
The favourite son returns. Ladies and gentlemen, we used to say that about Matt, but he's been with the show since March. Rob McManus, g'day, mate.
Thank you very much. Good morning.
Oh, hey, happy belated birthday.
Oh, thank you very much. Oh. I forgot about it.
Oh,
that
hang on.
That was last week, wasn't it?
How could you have forgotten? You said online that it was the best birthday you've had yet. what made it so great,
yet
Rove.
This year?
And so forgettable.
Well, it crept up on me. And I was talking to my sister-in-law the day before, and she said, well, talk to you tomorrow. I was like, why? Like, what's going to happen in a day? And I was like, oh, my God, that's right, my birthday.
Right.
But we were, we just had a whole lot of stuff going on. And, you know, my daughter has her birthday like a month before me. So she's turning 3. So that's the important birthday.
Yeah.
Not
that's
mine.
That's
don't
a biggie.
Care about mine anymore.
Yeah.
I've just been shunted.
Backseat, baby.
Yeah.
Backseat.
Well, when she turned 3, and there was a lot of build up this year about, oh, you're going to turn 3. And she was learning a lot about that. And so she was trying to wrap her head around, I'm going to go to sleep tonight. I'll be 2. And I wake up tomorrow and I'll be 3. So she kept saying to me, like, how old am I going to be tomorrow? I say, you're going to be 3 tomorrow, 3 tomorrow. And then she said to me, when's your birthday? And I said, mine's very soon. And she said, how old will you be? I said, I'm going to be 43. You're 3, I'm going to be 43. Then she starts crying.
Yeah, oh, really?
And says, I don't want to be 43.
I know that feeling.
I don't want to be 43.
Confusing.
We get it, kid. We get it.
Now, it says this is your long-awaited return to Perth.
They do say that.
So has it been a long time?
Well, I guess we'll have to ask Perth. I hope so. Well, it's been, 2008?
Okay, that's long enough for a long-awaited.
And let's say that people were not happy.
Oh,
that I've been away that long, as opposed to like, oh God, could you make it another 2 years before we come?
Yeah,
back? People have been sad, man.
Thank you, that's all our fans.
There, let
gentlemen.
Sure,
yeah, and so in the meantime, obviously, was in the States for like living in LA for 6 years, so it's been great doing stand up in the clubs there. I was living and working in New York for a while as well, and that's an incredible scene to work at there. Mm. And so to be back and get to do some shows here is great. And what normally happens is I end in Perth. Tonight I kick off in Perth.
Sure. Oh, like nice. Springsteen.
I know.
Pretty much.
You like to sort of wrap up in your hometown when the show's all polished and done and you know where all the jokes are and all the stuff that doesn't work is gone. So when all your friends and family are coming, they're seeing the best show possible. So everybody who's coming for this run, I keep saying to them, I've not done this before. Please be gentle. Remember, long awaited.
Yeah. And you didn't pick a little fringe tent somewhere with capacity of eight people. It's
nice
the Heath Ledger.
Of course.
Theatre.
I saw my wife perform a very important Black Swan play there, and then now I'm going to get up there and tell stupid jokes.
Mm. Well, what's is there
happening?
Anything that you
what
had when you were younger, you were thinking when you were starting out or whatever, that you thought, I'm never going to be the kind of guy who writes jokes about that. I'm never going to be that guy. Have you become any of those?
Oh, I'm the guy who's talking about his kid. I'm doing a lot of that. I was like, but what I always said I wouldn't do is be the guy who talks about how horrible it is. Like most comedians, male comedians, when they talk about their kids, it's all negative, like, oh, God, my kids.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I hate them. Don't like Louis C.K. is renowned for it. Yep. Another great comedian, Jim Gaffigan. It's all about, you know, not getting along with your kids. And I was always going to be, I'm not going to be that person. So I might, this show is a lot about being a dad and in some respects how it changes my perception of the world and myself. Like, am I going to be a good dad? Do I have to be a good person to be a good dad? if I'm not, if my wife is a good good mum, does that kind of cancel me out? So I'm like, she'll be okay. So it's positive. At least I'm hoping it's positive as opposed to if I'm going to talk about my kid, I don't want to be like, God, jeez, this is terrible.
I need to have a child so I can get some new material.
There's a puppy.
Yeah, there's a puppy.
Puppies are always good.
I've used up the I'm middle-aged, so yeah, it's gone.
It's funny how you just I think it's because now I have less time just to walk around and do my own thing.
Yes. Yeah.
So it's now all about, well, everything revolves around Ruby, our daughter. She is the sun in the middle of our solar system. So, you know, if you were to, I couldn't tell you, you know, who's going into I'm a Celebrity, but I know what happened on Peppa Pig. Yes.
Absolutely. Yeah, used to know High Five.
Spoiler alert, muddy puddles.
Mate, I don't mean to depress you, but it doesn't get easier. I've got 2 kids with L plates right now.
Oh, my God.
Lots of driving lessons and lots of fear. But
sounds good, like good material. Give me a pen.
Mate, if you could have time again, with all due respect to the TV industry, if you had your time again, would you prefer to be a triple gold Logie winner, a triple Brownlow medalist, or a triple Alan Border medalist?
Oh, God.
What's your fantasy? Would it be one of the sport ones?
Possibly. Possibly. I think if I could be a triple Brownlow in my family with our heritage, would mean a lot more. I think I have a, a there's a, um, I have a, he's like a cousin once removed type of thing, who has the old family home that my grandmother, who passed away last year at the age of 101.
Wow.
It was her house, her family home that she grew up in, and it's now one of the family still lives in there. And there's like a back room that has all this memorabilia of all the family's accomplishments. I don't think I'm even in there.
Oh. No sport.
Like Melbourne Cup winners, yeah, and football players, Olympic gold medalists, and I'm just like, oh, I just like mucking around and stuff. So I think the Brownlow would be great and have three.
Have
holy
three.
Cow.
Bobby Skilton would be up there.
Let's do it.
We'll give you a chance for a quick muck around now. We're going to ask all of our celebrities that are in the studio this year a quick would you rather question.
Here we go. Yeah. So, was that it or we got another one?
No, here it comes. Here we go. Would you rather be permanently followed by 10 quacking ducks that you can't get rid of or wake up tomorrow as your six-year-old self?
Ducks.
Yeah, you go.
There's 10 of them and they're quacking full time.
That's fine. I like ducks for a start. Ducks are great.
It's a lot of responsibility.
Look, it's my answer. I stick by it.
Back him up.
But listen to this. Everywhere you go, traffic stops.
Oh, yeah.
There are signs that you drive around. How many signs have you seen that it's just a line of ducks? It's like big duck, middle-sized duck, tiny duck.
Yeah.
Because, if there's a duck, you got to stop.
Yeah.
I got how many?
Well, you got 10.
10?
Yeah.
10 quacking ducks.
Mate, I'll never have to look to cross the road ever again. Everywhere I go, ducks. Here we go. Stop, stop, ducks. Me and my ducks are coming through.
And how confusing for your daughter. She turns 3 and you're 6. That's weird. So bizarre.
I know, yeah, I don't need that. So, yeah, I'll take the ducks. Absolutely.
Okay, great. Brilliant.
Okay, mate. Heath Ledger Theatre, we're talking about tonight.
Yes.
Tomorrow night.
Yes.
Sunday as well.
Exactly right.
Beautiful. So get on to Rove and go and see the show. It's been too long. Way too long, baby.
Everyone.
Good to see you,
mate.
Clancy, Matt and Kimber's podcast at mix.com.au. Now, the moment you've been waiting all morning for. It's Captain Paul's joke of the day on Mix 94.5.
Yeah, I was chatting to my mate last night and his dog's got an ingrown tail.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so he had to have him x-rayed to find out if he's happy.
Well, there's another Clancy, Matt and Kimber podcast, done and dusted. Don't forget you can catch them on your good old FM radio too, weekdays from 6 a.m. on Perth's Mix 94.5.